Iku Iluna. Please rise.
Ohea oko e ko ka aha. Inahe kuleana I mua o kea aha ho o kolo kolo ki e hanahano o ka moko aina o Hawaii. E nai mai, e malio mai, I lohi ia kaleo. Hiri, hiri, hiri. All person having any business before this honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii, draw nigh. Give your attention and you shall be heard. E noho I lalo. Please be seated.
Please call the case.
Case number SCWC-18-119, Delbert P. Costa, Jr. versus County of Hawaii, Department of Water Supply, and County of Hawaii Health and Safety Division. Arguing for the petitioner, Rebecca L. Colvert. Arguing for respondents, Christine J. Kim. Argument on the merits.
All right. Good morning. Aloha, everyone. To note for the record, our proceedings being broadcast live today on our YouTube channel as well as on Olelo. Counsel, are you both ready to proceed?
Yes.
All right. We've allowed 30 minutes for each side for argument. Ms. Covert, we're going to give you a warning with 8 minutes to go. I think you wanted to try to reserve 8 minutes for rebuttal, so we'll give you a warning 22 minutes in. Ms. Kim, we'll give you a warning with 5 minutes to go. Please. All right. Please proceed. Oh. Unless you want to waive your argument, which I don't think you do.
As you said, please be seated.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I sounded. I'll try to speak right into the mic.
No,
I apologize.
I need hearing aids, so don't worry. Good morning. Thank you for taking the writ. The issue to be decided is whether, after a final order on compensability is made, an employer can continue to avoid the 20% penalty under 386.92. Because at the outset of the claim, it contested liability. And we submit the answer is no. The allowing the employer to delay TTD benefits until a director's decision orders temporary disability benefits after compensability is decided and not appealed contradicts the legislative scheme weaved into 386.31B and 386.92. The two sections of the work comp law that assure workers who are disabled from a covered industrial injury get the weekly benefits promptly and without having to wait for a director's decision. Those benefits, temporary total disability benefits, are a survival benefit. These claimants are not being paid. They are receiving only 2/3 of their average weekly wages. And in some cases, the state average weekly wage for the year may even lower the amount that is 2/3 of their wages because you can't go over that cap. The benefits under 386.31B are paid weekly. They're and no later after compensability is accepted or decided. And that is the point I may refer to a carrier, but the County of Hawaii was both the adjuster and the employer. But the employer has a duty under 386.31B to review each week and pay those weekly benefits unless they determine that they have, one, claimants returned to work, or the director has cut off the benefits, or under what's called Act 66 from the 1979 session, the employer with a liability to pay TTD, temporary total disability benefits, gives a due process notice to the claimant who at that point has a right to weekly benefits to tell them we're going to pay 2 more weeks and then we're stopping. And then the law requires an expedited hearing to resolve that matter. And again, that's with the idea that these are survival benefits for the claimant that should not be held up.
Counsel, if I can ask you, the employer is arguing, though, that they controverted the claim at the very outset, and the statute provides if they controvert it, then they're not subject to a penalty. Isn't that the position they're taking? How do you get around that?
Well, I look at the statute legislative history, which was somewhat, is it Pinocchi? Is that how it's pronounced? Mm-hmm. In Pinocchi, there was some review of the legislative history. If you look at it, it started out with the statement that temporary total disability benefits would be paid. And then it goes into, sorry. Then they start having a requirement that it be paid in 10 days. And then the law is changed to say, well, it's paid in 10 days unless the employer controverts the claim. That's all it said. It didn't talk about initial.
But the employer controverted in the initial WC1, did they not?
Right. But in 1979, the legislator changed that. And they said, instead of you can controvert it with no temporal restriction on it, you just can convert it, contest it, contest that liability, and you don't have to pay penalty. And they said, it's only on the...
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear it.
Oh, yeah, they told me not to move.
No, no, I'm sorry. No, just if you could repeat your point, I want to be sure I understand it.
In 79, prior to 79, the law just said, unless the employer controverts the claim, that no temporal restriction on it. So at any time, initially, 2 years later, 3 years later, it can say, hey, I controvert that liability, I don't have to pay a penalty. And they changed the law in 79, and they said, just on your initial claim. Now, if you hold that that initial claim gives them unended rights not to pay a penalty, you've undermined what the legislature did in 1979. And you look at what the legislature did in 79, they gave something back to the employer, and that's that Act in Act 66, the same section, because they changed 31B to put in those words, initial claim, and they changed 92 to put in the words, initial claim.
Well, let me ask you about the initial claim. That's the WC1
yes.
form that you're talking about? Okay, so in that form, they denied liability, did they not?
They did.
And that was in September 2012.
I believe so. Yes, that's when they learned about it. They
but the TTD provision provides that if it's not controverted at the outset, then TTD is due by the 10th day. Isn't that how the statute read at that time?
Yes.
And that's how it reads today.
Yes.
You know,
But the claim was made by Mr. Costa in May, on May 9th. The injury occurred, as he claims, and he reported it on May 10th. And so that WC1 is required by law to be filed within 7 days, but it was filed 4 months later. So TTD was due 10 days after he went out. The controversy came 4 months later, so it wasn't controverted at the outset, was it?
Well, I understand, yeah, I would agree with what you're saying, except that first off, we were not in the case until the second hearing.
No, my
Which
question
is not an excuse, but question, I can only rely. Sorry, but I can only rely on the WC1.
I understand, but my question is, you have to controvert the claim at the outset to avoid the penalty on the TTD.
Well, under Pinocchi, yes,
the initial claim
but
form.
They're
but in
saying,
this case, the TTD was due within 10 days after May 9th.
Mm-hmm.
There was no controversy in place during that time period. Isn't that what the record reflects?
I can only say that the WC1 said that the employer learned about it was reported to the employer on September 18th.
Right, but in the record, you folks attached the incident report. It was filled out by the supervisor.
Yes.
And the supervisor said it was reported to him on May 10th. That was the next day.
Yes.
So the WC1 should have been filed within 7 days thereafter. Isn't that what the law provided at the time?
Yes.
But it wasn't.
You're correct.
It was filed 4 months later.
Yes.
But TTD was due 10 days after this date.
Yes.
So there was no controversy in place at that time.
Under your reasoning, you are correct.
It's not my reasoning. It's what the record reflects.
What the record reflects.
And I'm wondering why that argument wasn't raised.
I would have to say it was not raised because I had focused on the sort of the legislative scheme I've been discussing and not on the report to an employer's supervisor as the notice to a employer. And
well, that
carrier.
Supervisor is the county's agent, isn't it?
No, I agree with you, but you're asking why.
That notice is imputed to the employer.
Well, I agree with you, though, that argument was not made by us that you're raising here.
I didn't see it either, but I'm just wondering why it wasn't made. Was there something that I'm missing in the record, or it just, for whatever reason, just
whatever
wasn't
reason.
Made?
Whatever reason.
Thank you.
Counsel, I have a different line of questioning. It seems that in February 2018, the board, in the majority ruling, denying, saying that penalties were not owed, the majority cited Louisiana and Mississippi cases, saying that although the benefit scheme under work comp is remedial and should be liberally construed, statutes that provide for assessment of penalties and attorney's fees are penal in nature and should generally be strictly construed. Now, I couldn't find any cases of our cases in which we've applied or said a specific standard of review along these lines with respect to the penalty statute, 386.92. And I'm wondering what your position might be as to how, whether or not this ruling of the board with respect to the standard of reviewing 386.92 issues, in other words, should it be strictly construed or should 386.92 also be liberally construed? And what is your position with respect to that?
I believe before the ICA, we addressed that.
Okay, and you argued?
We argued that they failed to recognize in our concise statement one, starting on page 10 of our opening brief to the ICA, we argued that they failed to apply the liberal standard. And then in argument A, starting at page 16, we then made the same argument. And I believe we cited to...
And did the ICA address that issue?
Sorry?
Did the ICA address that issue?
Yes.
And what did they rule?
They ruled that the board had erred, but it was not an error that would alter their review of the rest of the board's decision.
So even if it was liberally construed... penalties were,
yes.
Affirm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Ms. Covert, can you engage with, and I guess you've been doing this by referring to the ledge history, but the plain language argument that the county makes regarding 386.31B, the employer shall pay TTD benefits promptly as they accrue without waiting for a decision from the director unless this right is controverted by the employer in the employer's initial report of industrial injury. And their position is it was controverted in the initial report of industrial injury. And then on top of that, the decision by the director back in 2013, said that matters of average weekly wages, temporary disability, permanent disability, and or disfigurement, if any, shall be determined at a later date. So their position is the right was controverted in the initial report, and that provides them, I guess, as the LIRAB dissent talked about it, as a safe harbor. What's your response to that?
I think there's two parts going on. So the plain reading and then the director's...
What the director said in there. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's kind of a two-part question. Sorry about that.
So on the plain reading, I would say it's not clear if the... that you converted at the contested in the initial claim is unended. So I believe that there is ambiguity as to how long an employer can rely. And in fact, in Pinocchi, this court said it's not indefinite. And if there is a decision deciding TTD, then going forward, you can't go back and claim your initial controversy. That's how I understood Pinocchi. So I would say that the court, even perhaps people sitting here today on the court, agreed that it's not indefinite, that something can cut off that safe harbor the employer gets. And then to understand what the legislative intent is, that's when I talk about how the legislature in 79 in Act 66 made it just an initial, not unending, and then gave the employer the out to give the due process notice of 2 weeks.
So your view is that what happened in 79 supports your position because the addition of the language to the statute at that point was intended to, in fact, limit the employer's ability to controvert or set up the basis for controverting the TTD.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and I'm sorry, I did. What about the second part? What do you make of the language in the order that says, hey, these matters, if any, shall be determined at a later date, which implies, you know, that perhaps there's no direction to the employer or requirement that the employer pay these paid TTD.
Well, I would then say that plain reading would apply to 386.31b, that when a claim is now compensable, and the legislative history, consistently, the legislature is saying claimants shouldn't have to sit around and wait for another decision on TTD. I don't know if they said another decision, but they shouldn't have to wait for a decision to get TTD. And so they wrote the statute that says they shall pay that TTD within 10 days, and you don't need to wait for a decision. So we submit that the employer and the board in ICA erred if they find that.
Why is this language in the, is this language that's commonly used in orders of the director? And if so, do you have any understanding why it's there?
You know, again, the claimant asked for a hearing on compensability. And so that was the issue. And there's a reluctance of the hearings officer to take on other issues that were not noticed with the hearing. So if you look at the notice of hearing, which I did not bring with me, it probably identified liability and did not, compensability and did not. I can tell you that the...
That's what it said.
Yeah.
To determine
whether
the claim is compensable.
So, because I've tried to add issues when I got to the hearing and I got nowhere, because unless the employer agrees to take on additional issues. So there's the claimant with his girlfriend and they just want to get compensability because he thinks once he gets compensability, he'll start getting those TTD benefits, which he really needed because he ended up with a lot of financial problems without getting benefits paid.
Ms. Colbert, can I ask you, with regards to the language of initial report, right, challenging TTD in the initial report that's in 386.31, that's the language that you've been focusing on. And I think what I'm understanding your argument to be is that in order to essentially put off paying TTD, you've got to challenge it specifically in that initial, the employer has to challenge it in that initial report. And then what is the reading then of the statute if, so folks are on TTD for a period of time, there certainly must be play in the language of the statute, though. I think you would agree that over time, at some point, they can challenge TTD, right? How does that play out?
Oh,
in
well,
your mind?
Once our position is once compensability is decided,
yes,
statute requires the payment, and while they're paying, at any time the employer thinks or gets another IPE report, IME or medical exam report,
right,
or finds out, you know, from other, maybe even looking at the medical records, that this guy can go back to work. They do a letter, which we call, in the business, we call an Act 66 letter.
Okay.
And it tells the claimant, we're cutting off TTD in 2 weeks. And if you disagree, request a hearing. Now the employer can then pay TTD for 2 more weeks and can stop paying and it will not be subject to the penalty.
And what's the specific provisions under the statute that you think allow that if your position is they must initially challenge TTD under 386.31b?
So under 386.31b states that the the second indented paragraph, this employer shall pay temporary disability benefits promptly as they accrue without waiting for a decision from the director unless this right is controverted. Then the next payment is when the employer, second sentence, when the employer is of the opinion that the benefits should be terminated because the employee is able to resume work, employer shall notify the employee and the director in writing of an intent to terminate the benefits at least 2 weeks prior.
Okay, and so your position is once that notice goes out, unless the claimant requests a hearing, that then the employer can terminate the TTD benefits.
And even if the claimant requests a hearing, the employer can terminate it after 2 weeks, and then claimant have to go to that expedited hearing, And if they prevail, then the employer has to pay that benefits they had stopped.
Okay, thank you.
You know, in your view, when did the county have a basis to contest the TTD payments?
After 31 days ran on the director's decision.
What about Rogers' report? Wouldn't that be the time?
Yes, we believe that the employer didn't like the decision, didn't agree with compensability, didn't pay TTD, and instead took its time to write to another doctor to get another opinion on compensability. And that's Dr. Rogers' report that came in December, which the employer got in January. So our position, yes, would be that the employer had no basis up until it received the IPA report in January to contest TTD. And even at that point, it should have given the Act 66 2-week notice, which it never did.
Thank you.
Can I ask you, when you use the word compensability, I want to make sure that I'm understanding how you're using that word, because that was the issue that went to the first hearing. Are you using that in the sense to make a determination if it's a work comp injury or not a work comp injury? Is that how you're using the term compensability?
Yes.
Okay. And that's what I thought it was. And at that first hearing held in April of 2013, the parties are required to set forth all the issues and positions they're contesting. Isn't that right? At that hearing.
Well, that's where I would like to say that the hearings officers take the position that the notice of hearing is the universe unless there's agreement of the parties to go past that notice.
Right, because the notice says you can bring up any other appropriate issues as well.
Yeah.
So if another party wants to raise new issues, they can lay that out for the hearings officer at that initial hearing.
Yes.
And that's where the party should set forth what it is they're contesting, right? And the hearings officer can decide, I'm going to defer something or we'll talk about it some other day. Isn't that how those hearings go?
The hearing will say, if everybody's in agreement, we can take on those additional issues.
Right, but the hearings officer will note all the issues being raised by the parties.
They should.
And that will be in the decision itself. It'll lay out each party's position, correct?
It should. And then the director should then say, but we didn't address these issues because they were not raised.
But when I read that initial decision, nowhere does it set forth the employer's position that they're contesting TTD. They were only contesting whether or not it was a work-related injury or not.
That's correct. In fact, they own their own WC1 states that the disability gave a date for the disability, states the disability began on May 10th, 2012. That was in their WC1. And at the hearing, they already had disability slips going back to May of 2012, and those are in the docket 10 and 11 of the record. And then their position at the hearing, based on what the director wrote and what I found in the record, was that they were just saying it's not work-related psych injury. They never said that he wasn't disabled from work because of any reason.
And I understand you weren't present at the hearing. I think that's before you got involved in the case, but when I read the decision, I didn't see the employer raising any issue about the disabled status of the claimant. Is that how you read the decision?
Yes.
All right. And then 30 days or 20 days ran and there was no appeal from there. Is that what happened with that first hearing?
Yes. The time ran and no appeal was filed.
Okay. And then after that, you have a series of letters or correspondence going back and forth where the employer's adjuster is trying to set up a second examination with this Dr. Rogers, and they had a right to do that, correct?
Well, my position under the statute is they have a right to one, and then
That's what they did, though.
They got a second opinion, yes.
Right. And then there was some trouble about the claimant appearing at that second exam, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what happened was the employer then sent the letter out saying that if he doesn't show up, they're going to cut off his benefits with 2 weeks' notification. You remember seeing that in the record?
because he failed to appear at the
Well, they're saying there was a December 6, 2013 letter. They're asking him to appear at the Rogers exam. And they're saying if he doesn't appear, they're going to cut off workers' compensation benefits in 2 weeks from notification of this letter.
Yes.
Remember that?
I do know that they requested to be reimbursed for the cost, and I don't recall. I don't disagree with you.
Okay. And I'm trying to, you had said something earlier about 2 weeks. When you're going to terminate TTD, you got to give 2 weeks notification. Is that what you said earlier?
If you're going to terminate temporary
TTD.
Yes.
Right. And that letter said they're giving 2 weeks notification.
Okay. I do not recall the letter in the record, so I can only say that I don't think there's a basis for them necessarily to stop the temporary total disability benefits because he doesn't appear at the IPAE, but to request a reimbursement for the cost of a no-show. But
well, that letter seems to give the appearance that they understand they're supposed to be paying, and that's why they were giving the 2 weeks notice.
No.
That's the way I read it.
Yes. The way you're describing it, I agree with you.
Thank you.
And I just thought there might have been something in the director's decision. I think, though, at the hearing, the employer did suggest, and then I'll stop if I can to reserve my time.
Yeah, but you can finish your answer.
I read that last paragraph under the before the findings of fact that the employer was sort of saying, you know, this is all should be resolved by a meeting with the superiors, and then everything will work out okay. And I believe that included his ability to go back to work. So I think the employer was recognizing a responsibility for lost work time of the claimant, but not accepting and agreeing to pay it.
Counsel, I have just a question. So it's my understanding that what we're really talking about is a penalty of $4,277.84 as of December of 2013. Is that right?
Yes.
So if this court were to rule in your favor, in your client's favor, would you get interest on that?
No.
There's no interest?
I don't believe we could ask, but I don't think the statute does not provide for the interest.
So for 11 years, there's no interest.
Thank you for the question. If I prevail, I will spend some time looking if there's any way to get it. But right now, I don't.
Thank you.
Certainly none under 386.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Covert. Ms. Kim, your argument.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Christine Kim. I'm here on behalf of Employer Appellee, County of Hawaii, Department of Water Supply, and Adjuster Appellee, County of Hawaii Health and Safety Division. So today we're here to discuss whether the employer should be liable for a 20% penalty for late payment of temporary total disability benefits pursuant to Hawaii Revised Statute Section 38692. I will very briefly review the facts that I think will be relevant to this court's determination. So as you know, Mr. Costa filed a claim for a work-related psychological stress injury in 2012. The employer filed a report of injury and denied compensability of the claim on their WC1, employer's report of injury. A hearing was held. The claim was found compensable, but the Director of Labor and Industrial Relations specifically held that a determination on average weekly wage and temporary total disability benefits was deferred at that time. I think it's also important to note that Mr. Costa did have his other workers' compensation claim from 2012 as well. He had a claim for an injury to the shoulders, and pursuant to an order of the director throughout much of 2013, he was actually receiving temporary total disability benefits under the separate claim. So the issue of whether he was entitled to temporary total disability benefits for the psychological injury wasn't cut and dry. There was the question also, is he off of work due to his shoulder injury or is he off of work due to the psychological stress injury? The matter of temporary disability benefits went to hearing before the director, and the director held that indeed Mr. Costa was entitled to temporary total disability benefits for the psychological stress claim. And interestingly, the director went back, even though they had issued a prior decision saying he's disabled due to the shoulder injury, they changed the award and said, okay, it's now due to the psychological, you know, this one period is now due to the psychological stress injury, and the claimant is entitled to the difference in the cost and benefits. So it's our position that the entitlement to temporary total disability benefits under this claim wasn't, like I said, it wasn't cut and dry. It wasn't totally clear because he had this separate injury as well.
Is that argued in your cert response? I don't recall this issue being raised.
In the cert, I focus specifically on the statutory language and how this case doesn't qualify for benefits
right.
under the statutory
language. Right, it was like the predicate. Because he had controverted claim, because the employer had controverted the claim back in 2012, there was no obligation to pay until there was a decision from the hearing officer or the director. It's a different issue. It's sort of a different issue, but.
But I think it does provide some context. But getting into, so the director held that he was entitled to temporary total disability benefits for the psychological stress claim, and the employer was liable for the 20% penalty. So getting into that issue, the issue of the 20% penalty, and as you know, the Labor and Industrial Relations Appeals Board overturned the penalty, and the Intermediate Court of Appeals also agreed with the Labor and Industrial Relations Appeals Board that a penalty was
appropriate. I'm sorry, can I just follow up on the Chief Justice's question? And I appreciate the context that you're giving between the prior shoulder injury and the stress injury. But none of those arguments were made by the employer to the DCD hearings officer, because that position is not staked out when the hearings officer recap the different issues and positions that were set forth by the parties. Nothing's really mentioned about the shoulder. Nothing's mentioned about we're unsure about which claim under which the TDD should be paid. And the position statement really is focused on whether or not the stress claim is a work injury or a non-work injury. Because it says that the alleged stress that claimant experienced after being bypassed for entitled positions did not arise in the performance of duty, but due to a personal matter. In other words, that was all the employer was arguing. And then the hearings officer in the decision says that these other issues, if any, which I understood to be those issues aren't being raised now, but if they come up in the future, you can certainly go back and have them heard before the hearings officer. How do you address that?
And I'm sorry, are you referring to the 2014 decision?
No, I'm talking about the one from the June 2013.
The 2013 decision.
And let me also add that the average weekly wage you said was deferred. It wasn't. In that decision, the hearings officer set the average weekly wage.
Oh, okay. So responding to your first question, well, hold on just one second. Oh, that's interesting. You know, looking at the 2013 decision on the last page, it says the matters of average weekly wage, temporary disability, permanent disability, and disfigurement, if any, shall be determined at a later date. So
right,
that's
but on
what
page
I,
three, the average weekly wage is set at the number it has there. And I did see that WC1 was amended to reflect that as well.
I apologize for my error saying that the average weekly wage was deferred. So going back to your other question, why the issue of the shoulder disability wasn't raised.
I'm not asking so much why it wasn't raised. I'm just saying it wasn't raised. Well, I know you're raising it now, but it wasn't an issue at the time the employer had their shot at controverting whatever issues they wanted to controvert. The only thing they were focused on was whether or not that stress injury came about because of work or was it a personal injury.
Well, I can only, you know, speculate as to the attorney at the time who is, you know, now passed, as to her motivations, as to her arguments. But for me, if there was a determination that the claimant was entitled to temporary total disability for a shoulder injury. I would assume that that was the period of disability that he was entitled to TTD under that claim and not under this claim.
If you were handling the case, you certainly would have raised it at the first hearing, so the hearings officer understands it's an issue.
Well, like you brought up also, the issues of temporary disability benefits were not noticed at the first hearing. So
it says compensability.
Compensability, yes.
That includes TTD, doesn't it, and all benefits?
Well, from what I've seen, typically the hearing notices will say compensability, temporary total disability, average weekly wage. So it sounds like the issue of compensability was the only issue addressed at the 2013 hearing. But like I said, the attorney who handled the 2013...
The hearing notice also says other issues as appropriate. So if TTD was an appropriate issue, it should have been raised at that first hearing. Isn't that true?
But I don't believe it was, you know. And
no, I know it wasn't because it's not reflected, but yeah. I'm just wondering why. Because the employer now is hanging its hat and saying that we controverted TTD from day one, although they never mention it, they never present the argument at the first hearing, but they continue to use that to say we're not going to pay a penalty later on.
Yes. And
I'm trying to reconcile that.
And I apologize. Like I said, the 2012 hearing was handled by a different attorney, and I could only speculate.
We're asking about the record. We're not asking for you to speculate about what might have been going on in that person's head. What's in the record? I think that's all that Justice Devens is asking you. And
okay.
The record doesn't appear to indicate that this issue of TTD had been raised. And what's the effect of that? Isn't that consistent with the notion that the ultimate decision didn't provide a safe harbor to the employer?
Well, I would argue, I was trying to give that background information to provide context, but when it comes down to whether penalties are appropriate under this case, as I lay out in the writ, if you look at the words of the statute, if you look at the three scenarios laid out in HRS 38692, none of those scenarios applies to this case to allow the assessment of a 20% penalty, regardless of what arguments were previously brought up or not. The fact is, you know, scenario number one, compensation payable under the terms of a final decision. There was no compensation payable under the terms of a final decision here. Scenario number two, TTD benefits are not paid by the employer when they're notified of disability and where the right to benefits are not controverted in the initial report to of injury.
It says right to benefits, and it's referring specifically to TTD. It doesn't say right to compensability, because the county seems to be taking the position that once you challenge compensability, you can challenge everything else, despite the language of 386-31B and the specific language of 386-92. So it seems to me that the statutes do allow for a penalty here. But so I'm going to ask the same question that I've asked opposing counsel, and that is, does the county ever pay interest on payments that are more than 10 years overdue?
There is no interest if payments are overdue. This is the remedy, 20%. For the late payment. There is no provision for interest.
You don't think 636-16 applies?
Sorry, could you repeat
that? HRS 636-16 interest?
36. Well, in my experience, it's never been applied.
It seems to me that if interest is not awarded, then employers really have an incentive to drag these things along. Because if all that can be ordered after 10 years is payment of the original sum, there's really not much disincentive to contest and keep appealing. And I'm wondering whether not paying interest goes against the remedial nature of workers' compensation.
Well, I'm kind of seeing that as a separate issue, not...
Okay, yes, it's not briefed. Thank you.
Going back to the record, before the DCD hearing, didn't you say in an October 31st, 2012 letter that you'd provide TT benefits if it was a work-related injury?
Well, I think that's actually, you know, it's more complicated from an employer's perspective. It's more complicated than there's a work injury, you get TTD. There are cases where people suffer a work injury, but they also have, you know, a part-time light-duty job. In that case, there may be questions about their entitlement to temporary disability. Like in this case, there are a lot of cases where there's been multiple injuries on the job, especially with, you know, blue-collar workers. And there are questions about, is he off work, you know, due to this injury or that injury? So it's not, from our perspective,
I guess I could see that, but I'm also looking at that letter, looking at the statutory framework, which does say that you have to pay TTD benefits as soon as there's a decision on compensability or you face penalties. And it seemed that that 2012 letter before the hearing is recognizing, you know, those notions that, hey, if there's a compensability finding, that's a little bit different than on the TTD. You didn't appeal the compensability, and therefore the penalties are out there, and you're subject to them. What's your response?
Sorry. I'm trying to understand the question. So you're asking, could you repeat the question?
Well, if there's a decision on compensability, you know, it's work-related injury. Mm-hmm. From that letter I read and from the statutory framework, it seems that, you know, the penalties are in play. If you don't pay up on the TTD benefits, the person needs to have the ability to pay bills, put food on the table. And that's part of the statutory framework. And it seemed that that letter recognized that fact.
Well, I would assert, you know, a letter from the employer. What we're deciding here today, you know, will apply to cases going forward. That letter from the employer, regardless of what it said, isn't controlling. You know, we're interpreting this statute to determine how it should be applied going forward. But you also said, you know, it's your interpretation of the statute that TTD benefits should be paid immediately. But our position is that this statute, compensation payable under the final terms of decision, it doesn't apply here. Penalties can be assessed where the employer has not contested liability. That doesn't apply here. Penalties can be assessed where temporary total disability benefits have been improperly terminated. That doesn't apply here. So,
you know, it all seems that what you're saying, and in fact, it seems like the LIRB majority decided that, you know, it just seems like you're conflating work-related injuries with whether those injuries prevented the person from returning to work and being able to work. How is that not conflating the two principles?
Work-related injury and automatic disability from work are being conflated?
The work-related injury and whether that work-related injury prevented the person from being able to immediately return to work.
How is it being conflated that the claimant suffered a work-related? Well, I don't think we are conflating those two. It's employer's position that a work-related injury doesn't automatically correlate, you know, and there's also situations where people have private health conditions that take them off work as well. So I don't think those two are conflated.
Maybe you can address the statute. So 386.31b, the employer shall pay temporary total disability benefits promptly as they accrue to the person entitled thereto without waiting for a decision from the director unless this right is controverted by the employer and the employer's initial report of industrial injury. Now, you know, this right, one reading of that statute is that the right to total temporary disability has to be explicitly controverted, which it wasn't here. So that's something I'd like you to address if you could. And again, what's the, why, how does it fit with the purpose of the statute to say that once the employer has controverted that right, gone to a hearing, lost, and not appealed, they still get a safe harbor. So first of all, what is the, again, the employer, as far as I can tell, didn't controvert TTD in the initial report.
Yes, thank you. Responding to that, on the initial report, when an employer selects the option of claim denied, you know, in this case, pending investigation, that is a blanket denial, including of all medical temporary total disability benefits. So it's our position that that blanket denial applies to temporary total disability benefits. And it would be quite complicated and change quite a bit to have to lay out specifically that all benefits, vocational rehabilitation, medical, temporary total disability, et cetera, are being denied by that WC1. It's
well, just real quickly, in this case, nobody is saying that the penalty goes back to before the first director's decision. It was after the first director's decision determining that it was compensable that the penalty started to accrue, correct? Okay.
Can I ask you about that? I'm sorry, did you have something?
No, I just want to sort of, I was musing about my earlier question, counsel, and I'm just wondering, you know, if, I mean, don't you have to appeal the compensability decision?
It's our position that compensability basically doesn't immediately result in temporary disability just because, and I apologize if I'm not being articulate about this, just because someone suffers a work-related injury doesn't automatically mean that they're entitled to temporary total disability benefits. Like I said, there can be other scenarios that would interfere with their entitlement to temporary total disability benefits.
But isn't your alternative to appealing the compensability just following the procedures for terminating benefits?
Well, I don't think it would be following the procedures for terminating benefits typically doesn't occur until payment of benefits starts, which they contested the entitlement to benefits from the beginning.
Right, but you either appeal on compensability or maybe you start paying a little and then you say, hey, look, we're not going to continue our payments and you terminate.
Well, the employer didn't believe that he was off work due to the work-related injury, so they took that position that he wasn't off work due to a work-related psychological stress injury, and they didn't believe that they were liable for temporary total disability benefits.
So, but if we follow your logic, you're saying that if you contest compensability, you're contesting everything, so you don't have to pay anything. Is that what you're saying?
Until a claim is found compensable.
Right.
There
so,
is
but
no
the claim was found compensable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying you still didn't have to, but you didn't have to, you paid average weekly wages after that, right?
No, temporary total disability benefits are paid at,
paid instead
at the
of,
average weekly wage.
Based on the average weekly wage.
Yes.
So you basically weren't paying anything then.
He was not being paid temporary total disability benefits under this
right.
claim.
Right, so he wasn't receiving any work comp benefits then?
Throughout 2013, he received work comp benefits under a separate claim.
Under the separate claim?
Yes. Another thing I'd like to emphasize is that...
Wait, I'm sorry, can I go back to that? The employer knew he was off work, and he was claiming it was due to the stress. The employer was questioning whether or not that stress was caused by work or not. That was the issue, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And then you mentioned that when you denied compensability, you're denying everything. But the employer is required to file a written report within 30 days after denying compensability, laying out the reasons in support of that denial. Isn't that true? That's 12-10-73,
The administrative
rule? Right. I looked through the record. I'm sorry, go ahead.
There is that administrative rule, although I think, I mean, I know it's not binding on this court, but I think there is a board, a labor and industrial relations board case saying that failure to file that document doesn't automatically equate to compensability. But I know it's not binding.
That may be the case, but my question is, I was looking through the record for that report. I didn't see one, I didn't see that report in as part of the record. Was there that written report in support? Was that filed?
So you're asking if within 30 days of the injury being reported, did the employer file a letter or a report at controverting compensability?
Yeah, so when an employer files a report of industrial injury and it's denying compensability, the employer shall submit a written report to the director and the injured employee within 30 calendar days supporting the denial.
Okay.
And I read that as sort of a due process notice so that both the so that the injured worker knows what it is that's being denied and what the reasons are.
Mm-hmm.
Was that report filed in this case?
I apologize. I don't know.
Did you ever see one?
I do not recall seeing one. Yeah, but.
And you went through the record?
I went through the record, but it is a, you know, it is a big record. I did spend a lot of time going through it, but
I went through every page. I didn't see it.
Okay. Yeah. And I can say I didn't see one either. So.
Thank you.
So I'm trying to understand your position. Okay. So you agree that your client did not, in its initial report, challenge TTD, just compensability?
Well, it's our position that the denial of the claim is a blanket denial.
Okay. So it's covered, includes, because the whole question was, does this stress claim arise from the work? And so whether any benefits whatsoever. So then the first director's decision comes out, right?
Yes.
Rejecting that position. And then there's no action from the employer specifically then addressing TTD until far past the 31 days, whatever the 30 some odd days under the statute, correct?
So they did schedule an independent psychological examination to assess.
But that was long after.
Decision was issued in June 2023. They scheduled a psychological examination. You know, I know there were some issues about getting Mr. Costa to attend, but the psychological examination did occur in November and December,
right?
2023.
So five months later.
Yes, and
nothing from the employer to either the claimant or other parties, the director, whoever, that's saying you're challenging TTD.
No, right. And there was the decision in place saying it was deferred, so that was...
Well, I think that's the question. I mean, that's an odd thing. The Chief Justice asked about that. Why is that language in there, given the statute? So we're trying to read the statute and how mm-hmm. the statute should be implemented. And, you know, in terms of the TTD, the record is clear that the claimant was submitting those certificates, right, of disability throughout. There's no question about that.
There are certificates to support the disability, yes.
Okay. So I'm just trying to understand your position. Given that there was no challenge expressed by the employer after the first director's decision, determining that this claim is compensable, resolving the only challenge that was in place, what is your position why the employer can just delay paying TTD? What allows you, under the statute, point us to something in the statute that says you can continue to delay paying TTD?
Well, that's not expressly written in the statute, but there's also no provision requiring the payment of the statute, there was no decision in place. And, you know, the claimant did have the right to file a hearing anytime. They do generally expedite these hearings on temporary total disability benefits. So there is a remedy if a claimant feels that they're entitled to wage replacement benefits and they want to get them, file for the hearing. And the hearing is usually prioritized. And
336.31B has language that says, you know, TTD shall promptly be paid without waiting for a decision from the director.
Yes.
How does that square with your position?
The employer still has the right to investigate. Like I said, it's not always as cut and dry as claimant is injured, claimant's off work, he gets TTD or she gets TTD.
But you can raise that up. You can challenge if, in fact, that is something that you need to do before you... in other words, that can be a challenge. That wasn't done in this case, right? Nothing like that was raised after the director's, the first director's decision?
Well, the employer continued to challenge their liability for temporary total disability all the way through the DCB hearing, and they appealed their liability for temporary total disability benefits to the...
No, but that's not true. That wasn't challenged at the first hearing. I mean, that's the problem, at least for me, is that I don't see that challenge being raised.
Well, typically it's the moving party that would raise the issue. So it would be the claimant, I think, that would raise the issue of temporary total disability.
No, but if you're denying it, you have to state the basis and say that's an issue for us. We don't believe he's disabled, or we don't believe that we believe he can resume work, or he's not as disabled as he maybe pretends to be. I mean, you would have to raise that argument because, you know, going back to Justice Eden's question, that October 31st, 2012 letter says, if the claim is found to be compensable, payment of benefits will be made. So it corroborates the impression that it was only a matter of whether or not we believe on the employer side if this was a work-caused injury or not.
And that language...
That's what I'm struggling with.
Yeah. Payment of benefits will be made. I believe that immediately after the injury was found compensable, they did commence payment for medical benefits. You know, the term benefits is an umbrella term under workers' compensation and doesn't specifically...
Well, benefits includes TTD, doesn't it?
It includes TTD, but I would say it doesn't, you know... specifically mean TTD.
Well, this letter doesn't say we're only going to pay medical benefits. It says benefits under 386. 386 includes TTD. There was no splitting of hairs there. I mean, that's the letter from the employer.
Well, like I said, I mean, first of all, payment of benefits, they did pay benefits. They paid medical benefits. They continued to contest temporary total disability benefits. Second of all, it's our position, you know, that letter, today we're looking at the terms of the statute, and I've got 1 minute left. One thing I want to add is
that... You can finish your thought. Don't worry. Okay. I'll give you a little extra time if you...
You know, we're looking at the terms of the statute. That's controlling the letter from the County of Hawaii in 2012. It's our position that that's not controlling. As far as one other thing I really want to emphasize today, you know, we have to look at legislative history as well. In 1971, comments in the committee report wrote, this bill proposes to grant the director discretion to add a 10% penalty on the compensation payments in cases where liability is not denied and there is no question that the compensation is due the injured worker. So it's our position here that there was a question as far as the entitlement to temporary total disability benefits and that the legislature intended.
You would agree that it seems to me that the county seems to be relying on some potential ambiguity in the first director's decision. But you would agree that the director's decision cannot contravene the statutory language, right? So it would be up for this court to determine what the statutes mean.
Yes. Although, you know, the statute says payable under the terms of final decision or judgment is not paid within 31 days. Here, it's our position that since the issue of TTD was deferred, it was not payable under a final decision.
It is your position that despite the statute, the director can defer TTD because the statute says it's payable.
Well,
unless it's contested.
The statute, I mean, the payment of TTD it's complicated. You have to be temporarily and totally disabled from work to qualify for TTD. So I think there are, you know, questions whether someone is temporarily and totally disabled from work due to the work injury or not.
Thank you.
You know, at the end of all the back and forth that was going on down below at the DCD and the repeals level, at the very end, the employer says, we're not even disputing the TTD period. They stipulated, they said, we're not even fighting over that.
You mean once they had appealed it to the board
right,
and then they withdrew?
Right. In the interrogatory answer, they said, we're not even disputing the TTD period after all of this. And that seems troubling that, you know, the parties went through all this trouble. The attorney fees probably exceed the 20% at this point. I mean, it just seems troubling that at the end, the employer is like, we're not even really contesting the period of disability for this particular worker.
There can be various reasons why you withdraw an issue on appeal. So that issue was withdrawn. You're correct.
Well, it was in interrogatory answers that the employer says we agree that that is the correct TTD period.
Yes, and initially they appealed, and I believe it was in 2016, so it was quite...
No, it was 2014.
2014 that they withdrew the issue on appeal. So they continued contesting it through 2014.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further to wrap up for the court?
Just once again... It's our position that no penalty can be assessed under the statute and that the legislative history supports our position as well. Thank you.
Just to make sure I understand your answer to Justice Devens' question, if we were to reject your arguments that penalties are inapplicable in this case and were to conclude that penalties could be applied, there is no dispute about what the appropriate amount of the penalties is, that $4,000 figure? Is that something that is not in dispute between you're the county and the claimant?
I don't believe that's an issue that's, you know, properly before the court.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your argument.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe to touch base on a couple of the questions that were going on with the employer's time. The claimant actually requested a hearing after the compensability decision on August 12th, 2013, because he wasn't getting paid TTD. That hearing was held 6 months later. So if you say expedited, for one thing, because they weren't even paying, I don't know if that's why the director didn't handle it expedited or its own schedule, but the reality is there was a request for hearing. And 6 months later, that's when he got his hearing. The I think the since the issue of the amount of penalty, that's been taken off the table.
Counsel, I don't recall offhand from the record, but when was it? Mr. Costa was proceeding pro se for most of this time, including that first hearing. Is that a correct understanding of the record?
Almost up until the notice of the second hearing. I think we came in.
Is that when it was?
Just before the notice of hearing came in.
Got it. Thank you.
I think the... Chief Justice had a question regarding the language in 386.31b and 92, where it says before I get to that, I did want to say, I think opposing counsel pointed out that the committee report in 71 mentioned the discretion of the director to issue a penalty, and would, under legislative doctrine of statutory interpretation, the comments in a committee report should not overcome the plain language of the statute, which is that the director shall pay the penalty. So we do not agree that there's any discretion on the director. If the director finds the employer did not comply with paying TTD under the statute, it has to issue a penalty on it. The statute does say... that the temporary total disability benefits shall be paid promptly unless this right is controverted. And I think that's where you're sort of focusing. Well, was that right talking about controverting the benefits? But then it also talks about in the employer's initial report.
Is it enough to just controvert? To say we controvert, or is it enough to say we're controverting compensability? I guess what they're saying is because they controverted, they said we deny compensability, that again the safe harbor exists all the way through until there's a adjudication. What's your response to that?
Well, I think we disagree that that gives them the unlimited right to continue to not pay TTD and avoid, and it would actually result in an absurd result, absurd and quite damaging to claimants, because then there's an incentive for an employer to file a WC1 in every case contesting liability. Why not? I mean, if I were an attorney for the employer, that's what I'd advise
them
to do. Well,
that's not true. There has to be a good faith basis. In fact, they can get penalized if they took such action. I mean, they have to have a basis for it. They can't just willy-nilly file denials.
They can always say denying liability pending investigation. They can always say that.
But that's what they did.
Yes, and that was in their initial report.
Right, but they have a right to investigate.
Yes, but because they contested it, you know, and then later on, if they do their investigation and they have a bad faith denial of claims, even though they have no basis for it, well, yeah, that's not proper. But there's still that initial claim that denied pending investigation. So every employer could just say denied pending investigation and then go get a doctor to look at it. And so you'd have every employer being able to avoid every penalty, because they'd say, well, you know, even though you have a decision finding it compensable, even there's a decision saying there's he's disabled, you know, we filed that initial claim contesting.
Well, I think you'd have to read some good faith into that argument.
Okay. I just think what I'm saying is that that's if you take it all the way out, that's what you have. You have employers who can always avoid penalties by filing an initial complaint contesting. And that was not the intent of the legislature. It would also cause to us, and like I started, I think when I started my argument, that the scheme envisions that once the claim is compensable, the employer's duty is to review the records, medical records, every week, make sure, and if have a disability slip there and no basis to dispute it, you pay it. And you do that on a weekly basis. And if an employer can, after a hearing on a decision on compensability that's not appealed, then just continue not to pay temporary disability benefits, it would undermine the legislative intent to get the financial assistance to the claimant.
Well, anything further for the court at this time? We're a little bit over a lot of time, but if you want to wrap up, that's fine.
I would, you know, again, I think you're aware the claimant had to go out and get legal counsel, too. He took it on his own and won on compensability and then still had to go out and incur. So I think that's, you know, the other thing that the legislature hoped to avoid at the Disability Compensation Division was that people can just come in and, you know, represent themselves. And when the employer continues to, you know, not pay as required by law, it pushes the claimants to have to incur additional costs that they can't afford often.
Very well.
Thank you.
Thank you to both our attorneys for your arguments today. The court will take this matter under advisement.
Eku iluna, please rise. Ua ho'o malolo ia mai ne kea aha ho'o kolokolo ki eke hanahana. This honorable Supreme Court is now recessed.